ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुधीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपाकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकजमालिने नमो पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 14। लॉर्ड कृष्णा एक्सप्लेन्स द योगा सिस्टम। टेक्स्ट नंबर 31। श्री उद्धव उवाच यथा त्वाम् अरविन्दाक्ष यादृशं वा यदात्मकम् ध्यायेन् मुमुक्षुरेतन्मे ध्यानं त्वं वक्तुमर्हसि। श्री उद्धव उवाच यथा त्वाम् अरविन्दाक्ष यदृशं वा यदात्मकम् ध्यायेन् मुमुक्षुरेतन्मे ध्यानं त्वं वक्तुमर्हसि। श्री उद्धव उवाच यथा त्वाम् अरविन्दाक्ष यादृशं वा यदात्मकम् ध्यायेन् मुमुक्षुरेतन्मे ध्यानं त्वं वक्तुमर्हसि। Shri Uddhava Vacha. Shri Uddhava said, Yatha, in what way? Tvam, you, Aravindaksha. Oh my dear lotus-eyed Krishna, Yadrusham, of what specific nature? Va, or Yat Atmakam, in what specific form? Dhyayet, should meditate. Mumukshuhu, one who desires liberation. Etad, this, me, to me. Dhyanam, meditation. Tvam, you. Vaktum, to speak or explain. Arhasi, out. Translation and purport by the disciples of Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Shri Uddhava said, my dear lotus-eyed Krishna, by what process should one desire, by what process should one who desires liberation meditate upon you? Of what specific nature should his meditation be? And upon which form should he meditate? Kindly explain to me this topic of meditation. Purport, it has already been elaborately explained by the Supreme Lord that without loving devotional service rendered to him in the association of devotees, no other process of self-realization will work. Therefore, it may be asked why Uddhava is again referring to the system of meditation, dhyana. The acharyas explain that one cannot fully appreciate the beauty and perfection of bhakti yoga unless one sees its superiority to all other processes. Through comparative analysis, the devotees become fully ecstatic in their appreciation of bhakti yoga. It should also be understood that although Uddhava asks about those who aspire for liberation, he is not actually a mumukshu or salvationist. Rather, he is asking questions for the benefit of those who are not on the platform of love of Godhead. Uddhava wants to hear this knowledge for his personal appreciation and so that those who pursue salvation or liberation can be protected and redirected to the path of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Et Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyam Ishwaram. Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatade Shatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Well, while reading the purport and preparing for the class, I gave a title, Staying Grounded in Love. This particular purport highlights this theme of how one needs to stay grounded while developing a loving relationship with Krishna. So basically we'll discuss two topics. One is, as we see here, Uddhava's most unique position, and then we'll contrast, or we will understand that in the context of the purport, where we see Bhakti Yoga in relation to the other processes. So, who is Uddhava? Uddhava is the most striking example of somebody who realizes one's acute unworthiness in terms of a relationship with Krishna. Some time ago, Vishwarup Prabhu was giving a Bhagavatam class here in the month of Kartik, I think, few weeks ago. So he was saying how Brahmaji and Uddhav, they are the only two people who have performed austerities so that they can get demotion. Like generally, we perform tapasya so that we can get promotion. Somebody may give up eating, somebody may give up sense gratification so that he can rise higher. Somebody wants to be a sports champion or excel in academics, they perform austerities. But if you see, Brahmaji, he performed austerities to become a mountain, a stone. Brahmaji is the most intelligent personality. His body is fully made of intelligence and he wants to be a stone in Barsana, a mountain top. And that stone is not even having life, what to speak of intelligence. And Uddhava is Krishna's personal associate. Uddhava is always with Krishna, he sits with Krishna, talks, he lies on the same bed, he jokes, he's a student and he's a disciple of Brihaspati, the guru of devatas. And this Uddhava, he wants to become a blade of grass outside Vrindavan. So he is doing tapasya to become a blade of grass. So he came to Vrindavan, Uddhava came to Vrindavan initially to console the Brajvasis, to make them realize how they should not lament, they should not be sad, to console them, to reassure them. And he is so intelligent that he knew all the symptoms of Krishna Prem. And he knew everything about love of Krishna, but he couldn't access, he couldn't penetrate that love which the Brajvasis had. He couldn't experience that. So he couldn't be in that state. And the first shock he got was when he entered Vrindavan. When Uddhava entered Vrindavan, he thought he will console all the Brajvasis. But as soon as he came inside, he saw the gopis are sitting and doing meditation, dhyan. So he said, good, they are already doing some dhyan, meditation. So they will get some peace. But what he heard from them completely shocked him. Because the gopis said, we are doing meditation so that we can remove Krishna from our mind. And we are unsuccessful. They are so much absorbed in Krishna. So that's how Uddhava was completely bewildered there itself. Then he said, I want to go and meet Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda and console them. So then they said, Nanda Baba is, you can just follow this river and you go up, there is a mountain top and there Nanda Baba and Mother Yashoda live. So he was surprised to see that river, water body. So he followed that and he reached the mountain top and there he was shocked to see that river was simply the river of tears of Nanda Baba and Mother Yashoda. And he was shocked that anybody can have so much emotions that they cry so much for somebody. This was materially inconceivable for Uddhava. So Uddhava, who is a disciple of Brihaspati, his intelligence was short-circuited. He just couldn't figure out, on the basis of his intelligence, the position of Brajvasis. And the acharyas explain that Uddhava is a Jnana Mishra Bhakta, whereas the Brajvasis, they are in the state of Jnana Shunya Bhakti. Their knowledge, Jnana Avrita, their knowledge about Krishna's greatness is completely covered by such intense love. So what Uddhava does, there's a whole conversation, Uddhava is trying to convince the Brajvasis, especially Nanda Baba, Mother Yashoda, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. and he completely fails. They just don't get the point. Because their love is so thick that this knowledge can't enter. Like he tells them that, you know, you are so fortunate. You have Krishna as your son, he is the Supreme Lord. So immediately Nanda Baba says, we are not fortunate, we are unfortunate because Krishna is not with us. So then Uddhav says, you know, he has defeated Jarasandha 17 times. So if you hear that, a young boy has defeated a mighty king like Jarasandha 17 times, you would say, wow, he is God. But when Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda hear that Krishna defeated Jarasandha 17 times, their reaction is, oh, that is not good for him. He must be getting so tired. He is our small child. So like that, they are just not able to understand. And Uddhava, he just tries to explain so many times. But then Uddhava finally tells them that, do you know that he is the supreme personality of Godhead? And Nanda Maharaj says, Uddhava, we are not intelligent like you. We are ordinary people. But we are surprised that you are actually foolish. Because God means, we know whatever little we know God means Narayan. Narayan means one who gives shelter to everyone. Our Krishna, we give him shelter. So how are you saying that he is God? And you are saying, he is Supreme Lord. You know, Supreme Lord is aptakam, completely satisfied. And even satisfied with little. But Krishna, our Krishna is very greedy. He keeps wanting more and more butter. And God is Satyavan and our Krishna is always lying. And God is Abhay, fearless. But our Krishna is afraid. He comes running to Mother Yashoda. So saying like this, they are crying. Nanda and Yashoda are crying. So one Brajvasi was telling us once that Uddhava went to Vrindavan wearing the hat of Jnana, knowledge. A big hat. That hat was hat of knowledge, jnana, knowledge of Krishna supremacy. And when he went to Vrindavan and he saw the position of the gopis, the Brijavasis, how much they love Krishna, and it is so high, that love is so high, he kept seeing it, and as he kept seeing it, his hat fell. His hat of knowledge fell. He understood that he cannot understand Krishna. Once we were at Nandagaon taking prasadam, in one Brajvasi's house. So that first sabzi was very tika, very spicy. So I remember one devotee said, Are Prabhuji, aap Thakurji ko itna tika khilate hain? You know, you feed the Lord such spicy prasad, spicy bhoga. So that Brajvasi immediately said, Are Thakurji honge aapke, amare to lala hai. He must be God for you, but for us, he is our darling. So Brajvasis have a completely different understanding about Krishna. And the most intense experience Uddhava had was when he met the gopis. So the gopis started telling him so much about Krishna. And all the gopis, they took Uddhava to different places where Krishna performed pastimes. So when Usharu Prabhu was giving class, he said it was a very unique yatra for Uddhava. Generally when yatra, there is one dham darshak and there are hundreds of devotees who visit the place and they hear about the dham. But in Uddhava's case, there was one yatri and there were thousands of dham darshaks. All the gopis were telling about each place, the relationship, what pastimes they had with Krishna, like that. So now, after all this, Uddhava finally decides, oh, I am so unqualified. And then he wants to take dust from the gopis' feet, but he knows that they will be embarrassed. So what he decides that I will do tapasya outside Vrindavan. And I will do tapasya to become a blade of grass. So that the gopis can trample upon me and that way I can get dust. Very interesting. He is with Krishna, but he leaves association of Krishna because he knows that gopis who are far away from Krishna are actually very close to Krishna. Whereas he is very close to Krishna, but he is very far away. So then he gets what is called as a pole star realization. He says that I have so much knowledge about Krishna, but I don't have love. So the pole star realization means that we need, in a dark night, we need light. And when there is light, we can see things clearly. Light helps us see things clearly. Similarly, in ignorance, we don't understand. But when there is light of knowledge, we can see things clearly. But, this is a very important but. To understand Brajavasi's love is like to see there is to see pole star, you don't need light, you need darkness. Only when there is thick pitch darkness, then you can see pole star. Similarly, to understand love of Brajavasis, you don't need light of knowledge. You need the knowledge to be completely covered. This is the realization he gets. And Acharyas explain how everybody's love for Krishna was mixed with awe and reverence, but Brajavasi's love has no tinge of awe and reverence. It's pure, pure love. In Vrindavan, they actually once had a meeting, all the Brajavasis. How come so many demons are being killed by Krishna? What is he? Who is he? They did some analysis and they had intense discussion. And the conclusion of that meeting was, oh, Narayan enters Krishna and that help, and that's how Krishna kills demons. But our Krishna, he is no way he is God. That was the conclusion of the meeting. And they said, at best, maybe he is some devta, and that too not sure, perhaps he is some demigod. So they just couldn't think beyond that. In fact, once Krishna told his friends, you know, I am God. So immediately Subal, one of his friends, said, okay, let us do wrestling. So they had a wrestling match and Subal defeated him. So Subal started laughing. He said, you are God. You are defeated by me. You have no strength. You go home and drink Mother Yashoda's milk and then come back. And then you are talking such big things about being God. Then Krishna said, no, but don't you know? I killed Putana when I was just a few days old. And I entered Aghasur and killed Aghasur and saved all of you. And don't you know, I lifted Govardhan Hill. You all saw. I lifted with the small, my pinky finger of the left hand. Don't you know all this? So they all started laughing. The Gopas, they started laughing. Krishna's friends, what are you saying? Are Putana got killed not because of you. Putana got killed because Nanda Baba and Mother Yashoda are always chanting mantras for your protection. And Aghasur got killed because we entered Aghasur first. Before you entered, we entered. And Govardhan is so ecstatic because we are all serving Giriraj. So Giriraj was so happy that when thunderstorm happened, Giriraj, out of his own ecstasy, leapt up in the air. And you are so smart, you came below Govardhan and put your finger as if you are holding it. So like that, very sweet pastimes. And Uddhava understood that he cannot understand Krishna, and he understood that Brijavasi's love is very, very thick. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a beautiful analogy. He says, if you take a golden pot and put condensed ghee, and then you put a diamond inside that condensed ghee, then you cannot see the diamond. So if you want to see the diamond, you have to melt that ghee. Similarly, diamond is here compared to Krishna's opulences. And that condensed ghee is compared to love. When the love is thick and condensed, one cannot see Krishna's greatness like the Brajavasis. So when that love melts a little, like in Dwarka or Vaikuntha, then Krishna's greatness can be experienced and understood. So like this, Uddhava realizes Krishna's most special position. But what we see in today's purport is very interesting. The same Vrindavan, same love of Krishna, which is so inaccessible to everyone. Srila Prabhupada, he gave it to us so easily. But Srila Prabhupada, actually he is following Lord Chaitanya's footsteps. He told us about Ramya Kachid Upasana Vrajavadu Vargena Yakalpita. He said we have to follow the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. This is our process. We have to follow the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. But at the same time, as we understand the ecstasies of the Brajavasis, love for Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada wanted us to experience this. But if you see Srila Prabhupada's own life, he was so grounded. He was so much in touch with the material world also. It's not that his head was only in the spiritual world. And There are many pastimes of Srila Prabhupada where you can see that he was totally absorbed in Krishna and was indifferent to material world. But at the same time, you will also see Srila Prabhupada was very much here. Like there are two books I read of Satsarup Maharaj. One is called You Cannot Leave Boston and another is called I Am Never Displeased with Any Member. So in both the books you find, both the books are analysis of Srila Prabhupada's letters to Satsarup Maharaj. And in those letters you will find Srila Prabhupada talking about so many practical worldly things. I mean, I was amazed. His tips for being healthy and how to, like Jadurani Mataji is very sick. And the way Srila Prabhupada writes a whole letter on what all she could do by which her health could improve. He's talking so much about, you know, paying the finances, management, signing checks. Along with talking about being absorbed in Krishna like the Brijavasis. Isn't it amazing? So Srila Prabhupada, there is one pastime, Srila Prabhupada was flying from Dallas to New Orleans in 1975. And in mid-air, plane suddenly lost, because of some turbulent winds, the plane started having very violently shaking in mid-air. And all the passengers started screaming, yelling, the overhead bins opened and the things started falling off. And the whole time, Srila Prabhupada was completely cool. He was like, Hare Krishna. He was completely absorbed in chanting. And his servant was bewildered. He was saying, wow, Srila Prabhupada is completely focused, not affected. Srila Prabhupada didn't feel anything. At the same time, if you see, and then when the plane landed, if safely, and everybody was screaming in joy, at that time also Srila Prabhupada was completely equipoised. So now seeing this example of Srila Prabhupada, we may think, oh, I will also always remember Krishna. No, but we need to understand that we can't imitate, because we came to Krishna consciousness little differently than Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, he never forgot Krishna from childhood. Never. Not even once he forgot Krishna. Whereas we have been struggling to remember Krishna. So therefore it is imperative that we take care of many of our needs so that we are on a stable Varnashram platform from where we could practice bhakti. Like for example, some of us, let us admit honestly, we came to Krishna consciousness, we started practicing Krishna consciousness from a very undeveloped Annamaya Kosh. Or maybe we are stuck in that Annamaya Kosh. Annamaya Kosh is a sheath that covers the soul, which is like body. You know, we are only thinking of food. Like sometimes, you know, some of us, we came to Krishna consciousness, our consciousness was only prasad, only food. And we had nice quotes to say, this is prasadam, nothing will happen, Hari bol. But that's not the reality. And as we get older, we realize we are humbled, we understand, oh, I have to take care of my body, I have to take care of what I eat, I have to be conscious. So, we can't just allow our Annamaya Kosha to remain unhealthy. Just because we have Hare Krishna, we have holy name, no, we have to be careful. Like I remember Madan Gopal Prabhu, when I joined the ashram, you know, 20 years ago, we used to see Madan Gopal Prabhu was the only one who would do yoga. And all of us were young and we used to make fun of him. As I remember one devotee making fun of him. Are kya yoga yoga kar raha hai? Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. And then he would smile, he would say, Prabhu, time will tell you. And now all of us are doing yoga. Bhakti Rasamrut Maharaj, he came and gave Brahmachari class some time ago. The whole class was on how we should do yoga. And he said, I am not the body, I am the soul, but we have to take care of the body. So we say, I am not the body, I am the soul, but we take care of the body because we know that body is a vehicle to go to Krishna. So we have to take care of that vehicle. So this is Annamaya Kosha. Body that we identify with. As some of us, we are stuck at the Pranamaya Kosha. which is the next layer which covers the soul. Those who have an undeveloped pranamaya kosh, they are generally always having fear, insecurity. Their prana is always disturbed. You know, they are always worried about money, always fearful. I don't know if I've experienced this. You know, sometimes some people always live in some unknown fear. You know, fear of being chastised by authorities. There's obsessive fear of maya, not healthy fear of maya. Now, there are examples of such people also. Like, you know, sometimes you give a class and that such a devotee feels, oh, you gave the class for me. You saw me doing something and you wanted to instruct me. Like one devotee went to Radhana Swami Maharaj and he was saying that, Maharaj, you gave this class, you always give the class for me. So Maharaj said, no, I gave it general principle. Or sometimes, you know, somebody whose pranamaya kosha is disturbed, he's so fearful, he starts perceiving there is politics, or he feels prejudiced, he feels people don't like him, he feels others are envious of him. So this is a sign that our koshas are not developed and we are stuck there. We are not evolving. And on a subtler level, this can be more dangerous. Sometimes what happens, this is a reality. We may sit on a moral pedestal and declare that Prabhupada's mission is in danger. He is deviating. He is preaching like this. He is doing like this. Now, if somebody is actually defending Prabhupada's mission, if somebody is actually claiming to be, you know, really concerned about Prabhupada's mission, and if he loves Prabhupada, he would be happy. He would accept everyone. But the fact that a person who is apparently protecting the mission is himself miserable, and he considers others as deviants, means that his pranamaya kosha is undeveloped. He is so nervous, fearful, insecure, and that expertly it gets masked as protecting the mission. It's how subtly maya bewilders our intelligence. And this happens many times. We become self-proclaimed conscience keepers of ISKCON and we think we know everything. But it's simply a reflection of how we are disturbed. We need care. Self-care is not bad. In fact, as our movement is growing now, self-care is being emphasized by our leaders. So devotees who ignored their pranamaya kosha, who ignored their annamaya kosha, they are paying a heavy price. Their health is deteriorating and they are not happy in their practice of bhakti. And they are not happy because they are judging others, living in fear and insecurity. And some of us devotees, we are stuck in the manomaya kosha. Means always living in a responsive, you know, we just keep responding to events like animals, in the sense instinctive, ritualistic. You know, we are in the world of mind, intelligence and ego, always feelings, always thinking about our own peace, our own happiness, extremely, extremely self-conscious. Like, we have very rigid opinions, narrowly held, you know, we have very strong beliefs, basically attitudes, we are narrow-minded, we are not open to understand. That's a sign of somebody who is manomaya kosha, is mind, intelligence, ego, body, that sheath is not fully developed. Like we filter everything through my happiness. Oh, is it giving me pleasure? Like, you know, we may quote Madhavendra Puri's this famous verse. Pragada premera yehi svabhava achar nija dukkha bigna adi na kare bichar. So Madhavendra Puri never cared for anything for himself. He was simply serving Krishna, wanting to fulfill Krishna's desire. So I may say this, but in my practice of bhakti, I may only be thinking of myself and my needs. So like this, most of us, we are stuck in one of the three koshas. Unfortunately, not only we are stuck there, and this is not developed as well. Annamaya, pranamaya and manomaya kosha. And there are some rare people, some special souls, who live in the space of vijnanamaya kosha. You know, they are in control of their life. They trust themselves. They have confidence. Those of you who have read Journey Home, you will see that Radhana Swami Maharaji writes how he went, how he heard Krishna's voice, God's voice. He was looking for answers. He had so much trust and confidence in his relationship with Krishna. although you didn't know him as Krishna as yet. So those who have evolved beings, they are confident people. And in my experience of observing senior leaders in our own temple, I've seen that those who are making a meaningful contribution and those who are actually making a difference in other people's lives, I've seen them exhibit two qualities. One is, they are confident about what they are doing. It may not be politically correct thing to say, but the fact of the matter is, they don't do anything which they don't want to do. And they do what they really want to do. Even if they are going through pain, that's because they chose it. They are happy. You know? Many people outside also I've seen, that non-Hare Krishna devotees, they have developed Vijnanamaya Kosh. They are seekers. They understand. And they want to know more. They're open-minded. And when there's a stimulus in their life, they don't respond instinctively like animals. They have control over their emotions. So they are evolved beings. Like we have one example, one of the famous leaders of India, Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel. He is called as Bismarck of India, one United India, Iron Man of India. Very powerful leader. So in 1910, when his wife was dying of cancer, and there was an emergency surgery for her performed in Mumbai, and he was in Bombay fighting a case, court case. He was cross-examining a witness, and the surgery was simultaneously going on, and that surgery failed and his wife died. And as the case was going on, he had two small children then, he was attached to his wife, and was a nice grihastha. And as the case was going on, as he was questioning the witness, the chit came. A piece of paper came in his hand which said, "Your wife died, the surgery failed." He saw that chit of paper. He looked at the man who gave it to him. He folded the paper, put it in his pocket, and then continued to question the witness, cross-examine him, and won the case. And then came back, sat on the bench, and then broke down. What a story, right? We may criticize non-devotees saying that, oh, there is no Krishna in their life. True. But we need to know that they are evolved. Our criticism simply reflects that we are stuck in pranamaya kosha. We are living in fear and insecurity. And then we discuss annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, then vijnanamaya. And the last, which all for all practical purposes is the soul's real state, that is anandamaya kosh. Prabhupada says, satchidananda, soul is blissful. So, it's like, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami drinking 3 drops of buttermilk and still blissful. He didn't have any health issues. No, he didn't have problems. Or, Shamanand Pandit is, you know, in meditation and then he enters the kunjas and he finds Radharani's Nupur. And their anandamaya kosha is so developed, so evolved, that they don't need anything at the bodily level. And we as sadhakas and preachers, we may speak and we may give a lot of lectures on all this bhakti, keval, ananda, kanda. But we speak from a platform of manomaya kosha. We speak from a platform of our mind, intelligence and ego. And the proof is, internally we may be insecure, we may have our fears and we may be giving lofty discourses. And most painful and sad part of our sadhana bhakti is often the guilt and feeling of inadequacy that devotees go through. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, for example, he says, "Ame to kamer das, I am a servant of lust." Or Kaviraj Goswami says, "I am a worm in the stool. Jagai madai hoite, mui se papishta, purishera kita hoite, mui se lagishta." Or Sanatan Goswami says, "He's fallen." Now what happens, unfortunately, when we hear these statements, instead of appreciating them in the proper context, if we start telling our mind that I am fallen or you are fallen and we abuse our mind, we actually don't progress in bhakti. Self-criticism doesn't help us progress in bhakti. Now just like we say, I am not the body, I am the soul, but I care for the body, right? So I am not the mind, I am the soul, but I have to care for the mind. Just like body is a vehicle through which we go to Krishna, in that vehicle we have a companion. And that companion is mind. Mind is like a spouse.
You can't just keep shouting at your spouse. Your relationship will be destroyed. You can't keep criticizing the mind always. Because we need the mind's cooperation. We can't divorce the mind. And mind is extremely powerful. Mind helps us come closer to Krishna. So therefore, when I say I'm fallen, we think it's humility, but it could be that I'm confused, I'm miserable, and it could be veiled self-deception which comes as humility. We may be actually cheating ourselves. Because if you see the most advanced Vaishnavas, they're very evolved. They are very humble. At the same time, they're very confident also. If you see their life pastimes, you'll see simple example. Let us take Sanatana Goswami. You see Sanatana Goswami, when he meets Lord Chaitanya, what is the first Kaviraj Goswami writes in Chaitanya Charitamrit? Denya rodana kore ananda vivala prabhu kaye utha utha hoilo mangala. Denya rodana kare. He was crying piteously. At the same time, ananda vivala. He was in complete ecstasy. Interesting, no? Sanatana Goswami is Prime Minister. His brother is Rupa Goswami, Finance Minister. And they are both crying piteously, but they are in ecstasy. They are not in misery while crying. Can you imagine Prime Minister and Finance Minister? This is the country of Bengal, which was at that time much bigger than modern day many European countries put together. And Prime Minister and Finance Minister are the most important portfolios in any country. Isn't it? In our country also, when the demonetization happened, only two people knew. Prime Minister and Finance Minister. Very important post. And these Prime Minister and Finance Minister are crying like children. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the third canto purport that this crying is the last word in progressive march of devotional service. This is the highest. So they are crying piteously. But they are blissful. They are not miserable. That is the point. When we are crying at our inadequacy, are we blissful? Like I remember one devotee I met in Vrindavan recently. So I hear this five-star lectures our Anandamohan Prabhu gave. Almost 100 lectures every day. Regularly I try to hear. Very nourishing class. But they are very strong classes. In the sense, Maharaj speaks very clearly about standards of bhakti, pride, maya, razor surgery, surgical classes. So this devotee came and told me, Prabhuji, I am feeling very, very demotivated. You know, I am hearing these classes, but I am so far away from the standards of bhakti. So, and the way he was lamenting, I really felt he is not happy. So I spontaneously said, sir, don't hear the classes. So he got shocked. He said, what? No, I said, no, I mean, I'm sorry, I tried. No, but you are miserable, right? He said, no, I want to hear those classes. You know, they are very important and they're nourishing. I said, then be happy. No, you can't be both. You can't say that you are hearing classes and they're important for nourishment and you're miserable also. How can that be? Because his health is going bad, his relationships have failed. So I told him that, you know, you may be masking your pain with Gangot talks, but the point is, if you are not happy with Krishna here, how will you be happy with Krishna in the spiritual world? If your bhakti practices are not giving you joy here, Srila Prabhupada said what? Chant Hare Krishna, and two instructions are there. Chant Hare Krishna and also be happy. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be happy while practicing bhakti. Like imagine there is a billionaire who has many, many servants. And he has no shortage of servants. And imagine one servant comes to serve this billionaire, always having a sullen face, always lamenting, crying, unhappy, irritable. What will this billionaire master say? Are Baba, khush raho, itna kyo ro raha hai? Why are you so miserable? Isn't that what he will say? So similarly, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, most merciful master. He has no shortage of servants. And we are serving Krishna and we are miserable. Krishna will say, if you serve little less, that's okay, but you don't be miserable. Don't be crying so much. Because it is interesting what Sanatana Goswami was doing. When he was crying in front of Lord Chaitanya, he says, Nicha jati, nicha sangi, kori, nicha kaja, tumara agrate prabhu kahite vasi laja. He says, laj means shame. I am feeling shame, my dear Lord, standing in front of you. Matulyo nasti papatma na paradi kaschana. Pariyare pi lajja me kimbruve purushottama lajja. I'm feeling lajja, shame. Jagai madai hoite koti koti guna. Adama patita papi amidui jana. We are adama, we are patita, we are papi. We are useless. I'm feeling shameful even standing in front of you. But the best part of these prayers is, when I read it first time, I was amazed and really, it just blew me away. Here is a personality who is saying, I'm ashamed to stand in front of you, my dear Lord. And after that, immediately, he is advising Lord Chaitanya that, you know, you should not go to Vrindavan in such a big crowd. Brijvasis will get bewildered. They'll think some magician has come to perform. You should go with one or two people. And Lord Chaitanya didn't listen to him. He went ahead. And he went up to Kanai Natshala and then he realized, oh, what Sanatan told me was right. And then he came back and he went back to Jagannath Puri and there he kept glorifying Sanatan to everyone. Are, this Sanatan Goswami is so good. He appreciated him. So when I read this, I was amazed that if he's feeling so shameful, how come he advised Lord Chaitanya? Supreme Lord ko bol rahe hai, he is telling Supreme Lord that, you know, don't go like this. It's an amazing paradox. That means he trusted himself. He had confidence in his relationship with the Lord. So therefore, those are really advanced Vaishnavas. They are not, in the name of humility, they are not confused. They don't have hang-ups. They are not miserable. They are Vijnanamaya Kosh. Their wisdom body is evolved. And that's why if you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's reply is also epoch. It's legendary. Shuni Mahaprabhu kahe shuno dabir khas. Tumi dui bhai mora puratan das. Oh, you both brothers, dabir khas. You are my old servants. Aji hoite duar naam roop sanatan. Denya chhaad tomar denya fate mora man. From today your names will be Roop and Sanatan. And this is again historical. Lord Chaitanya is telling them, Denya chada, tomar denya fate mora man. Give up your humility because your humility is breaking my heart. For us, our spiritual master has to tell us, please become humble. When we take initiation, we say, we take a vow, I'll be humble, servant of servant. And here, Sanatan Goswami's humility is so intense that Lord Chaitanya has to tell him that give up your humility. And not just Sanatan Goswami, all the other associates who are assembled there. Dui jane prabhur kripa deki bhakta gane hari hari bole sab anandita mane. All of them felt great ananda to see that Roop Sanatan are getting so much mercy. None of them felt insecure. A Vaishnava never feels envious or insecure when others get mercy. He never perceives envy, nor does he become envious of others. Sabara charane dhari pade dui bhai. Sab bole danya tumi pai le gosai. And what did Roop Sanatan do when everybody was glorifying them? They didn't feel, see, we are just new devotees and we directly walked into Lord Chaitanya. And all these Vaishnavas, they've just bypassed them. No, sabara charane dhari. They fell humbly at the lotus feet of all the assembled Vaishnavas. So, the point I'm trying to make is that Sanatan Goswami, when he's expressing humility and he is the teacher of humility, Lord Chaitanya taught us humility through Sanatan Goswami, we need to know that we can't imitate his humility. Because Sanatan Goswami was not a confused person. He was so smart, he could bribe the jailkeeper. He knew how to bribe the jailkeeper to escape. And that Turkish, that inn, you know, when he was escaping, he was staying in that inn and that innkeeper wanted to kill Sanatan. And Sanatan Goswami, by seeing his very sweet dealings, he understood that this person is trying to cheat me. And he caught his servant Ishan and asked him, how many gold coins you have? So Prabhupada says, you know, devotees are simple hearted, humble, but they're not foolish. Raghunath Das Goswami, Radhakund, whole management he did. Mahaprabhu discovered the spot and Raghunath Das Goswami, if you see those papers are still there. Raghunath Das Goswami signing the papers, doing all the negotiations, getting the government papers and getting it all done. He knew how to deal with the Turkish Chaudhary who came to arrest his father and uncle Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar. Basically, this is the point I wanted to make in today's class, that our great Goswamis are teaching us how to be grounded in love. In the sense, unfortunately, what we do is we focus on their internal ecstasies of the Goswamis, but we conveniently ignore how they stayed as sadhakas, how they lived as sadhakas, how they took care. And if we imitate their language and their lifestyle in the sense which is deep, which is a result of deep internal ecstasies, then, you know, like for example, if we keep saying I'm fallen, I'm useless, if we don't feel worthy in Krishna consciousness, our mind will recoil, because mind is a very stubborn phenomenon. Mind will not. We cooperate if we keep hammering the mind. Like Satchinandan Maharaj gives a very graphic example of Gurukulis. He says, in Gurukul earlier days, if the child was mischievous, so they would tell the child, oh, this child is mischievous. Come on, don't do mischief. Get up, go there, stand in the corner, chant one round. That is your punishment. Chant. For the idea was, the teacher thought, the holy name will purify the child. The holy name will clean the problems in the heart of the child. The holy name is most merciful. Holy name is most magnanimous. This mischievous child will become saintly like Prahlad, because we have given him a very sweet punishment of chanting the holy name. This was the whole idea, the vision, the spiritual thinking behind this. But what are the practical result of this? The child was chanting grudgingly that one round, because that was punishment. So when the child grew up, you know, he had his own job, business, whatever. And when he had some spare time, free time, do you think he would pick up the beat bag and chant? Because what is the language that his mind has heard? When he sees the beat bag, even if he wants to pick up, he won't pick up. Why? Because chanting is equal to punishment. So now you may say, hey, but holy name is supposed to purify, no? Why holy name has not purified him? Yes, yes, holy name has purified his soul, we know. But on a practical level, what has happened? He's scared of chanting. Like in Bengal, there was a city called Gopalpur in the history, I think 16th century. There was a Vaishnav king, Gopal Raj. He decided to make the whole kingdom Vaishnava kingdom. And he made a law in his kingdom that everybody should chant every day 64 rounds. It was a law. Everybody used to chant 64 rounds every day. So the farmer, trader, businessman, for whole day they would be in anxiety to finish their rounds. So the farmer would come home in the evening, oh, I've got 40 rounds left. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So these are called, you know, anybody chanting fast to finish his rounds, it is called as Gopal Raj rounds. finish. So our bhakti, we don't realize, often our bhakti is fear-induced bhakti. It's anxiety-induced bhakti. In that chanting, there is no Krishna. Of course, this is not to depress us. The solution is simple. Let us not excessively criticize. Let us not excessively live in fear. Let us just be attentive. What I'm speaking is simply an extension of what, you know, Sri Rama Prabhu spoke yesterday about balance, and Avatar Lila Prabhu spoke a few days ago on, you know, absorption in devotional service. Because Srila Prabhupada told us, don't worry about, you know, Vrindavan, remembering Krishna. Just listen to the holy name. And Patanjali Muni also in his Yoga Sutra says that our Vijnanamaya Kosha develops, our wisdom body develops. We become evolved when we are hearing attentively and we get those aha moments in our hearing. When we hear the class and we understand, oh, this is right. What is saying is right and I am wrong and I am happy about it. And that will happen if you are attentive, if you are present while chanting, while hearing. Like Prabhupada, when he first met Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, he debated with him, he argued with him. But at the end, he was defeated and he was happy about it. So that was his epiphany. That was his moment where, you know, his connection with Krishna became deep. So if we have our sadhana, basically the point, simple point is, let us move from our intensity of bhakti in rajoguna to absorption in sattvaguna. And the whole sadhana bhakti means, let us not ignore our koshas, our food, health, relationships. Let us not artificially psych ourselves up in bhakti. Because Devamrita Maharaj says that, you know, it is no point talking about faith in Krishna, believe in Krishna. We need to know Krishna. We need to have an experience of Krishna in our life, even if it is small. You know, there is a difference between belief. I believe in swimming. I believe in cooking. But do you know swimming? Do you know cooking? I know about Krishna, but do we know Krishna? So he has written a whole book called Bhakti Bhava. And if you see Srila Prabhupada, he didn't believe in Krishna. He knew Krishna and he wanted us to know Krishna. So therefore, let us move from a fear-driven, anxiety-driven bhakti and let us enter Krishna's space, the field of awareness, forgiveness, gratitude, appreciation. And this way, we can make progress. We can come closer to Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandam.